welcome to the Living Leadership Podcast, equipping leaders to live in Christ joyfully and serve Him faithfully. The following audio was recorded at Refresh Network Online, an online community for gospel encouragement and refreshment for Christian leaders and their spouses.
Well, it's really lovely to be with you all this morning, and thank you, Marcus, for that introduction. I'm not sure what I enjoyed more, being the funny one to Hugh's serious one or failing to teach you New Testament Greek. But, as Marcus said, this is going to have a bit of a spiritual formation theme, and we're going to be thinking this morning about solitude and silence and how Christ can use the rhythms of solitude and silence in our lives and how He uses them for our own spiritual health and our formation and for the good of the people that He has called us to serve. I think what Marcus has just said actually about unhealthy leadership dynamics and control and manipulation, actually silence and solitude speak really directly into some of that. And I think, as we'll talk about in a bit, they're often rhythms that can guard us against acting in those ways or can expose the times when we are grasping for control or we're acting in manipulative ways. And I'd argue that silence and solitude are some of the most important rhythms that we can be in the midst of our leadership, particularly if we want to really love people well and love people well selflessly and not with our own agendas and to fill our own needs and our own sense of identity or security. Now, I guess most, if not all of us, already have a rhythm of solitude and maybe even silence in our lives. We will all draw away from others to be with Christ in scripture and prayer and worship in our daily quiet time. But what I really want us to think about this morning are those extended periods of solitude and silence that we create in our lives so that we can be with Christ in a longer way, whether that's a few hours, a half a day, or longer. And my own experience is that even when I desire to have these extended periods of time with Christ, they are the things that so easily get squeezed out of my diary in the pressures of life and ministry. And maybe that's your story too. Maybe it's something that you long for and know you need and yet find it impossible to create the space for in the demands and pressures and expectations of ourselves and others. And yet, I believe that these are some of the most spiritually life-giving and transformative and essential rhythms that we can have in the midst of our ministry and in the midst of caring for the people that God has called us to. And really, my main prayer for this morning is that we will leave feeling invited by Christ into extended times of solitude and silence with Him, and that we'll leave too with that desire to take up that invitation, even when building solitude and silence in our lives feels really challenging, because it is essentially an invitation of grace. And often Jesus uses solitude and silence to minister His grace to us. Well, let me say something about what I mean by solitude and silence. Just, I think it's always helpful to be clear about these things and so that we all are kind of working off the same definitions. So when I'm talking about solitude and silence, solitude, I'm talking about the intentional and temporary withdrawal from people, from work, from our responsibilities, from technology, whatever it is that we might find distracting, or the other things that demand our attention. It's the withdrawal from those things so that we can be alone with Christ and so that we can set our complete focus on Him in an undistracted and an unhurried way. And silence then is like that. It's the intentional and temporary withdrawal from all of the noise of our lives so that we can hear and so that we can listen to Christ. And silence will also involve at times the absence of our own speaking, so that we can listen to God's voice and be present to his agenda and his work and his speech rather than our own. And I think in ministry, we do a lot of talking, but our talking must come from a place first of listening and of listening to Jesus. And although solitude and silence are distinct from each other, they often do go together because they enable each other. So silence can help us to truly be alone with Christ and more fully present to him in an undistracted way. And solitude helps us to truly be able to listen to Jesus above all of the voices that normally compete for our attention. So although they're different, they often help us to engage with both of them together. And it's important to say that silence and solitude don't do anything on their own. They aren't sort of magical spiritual bullets where we sort of put in the time and Jesus has to show up and he has to do for us what we want him to do for us. But rather, they're just about creating unhurried and undistracted space in our lives so that we can meet with and be with Christ in a deep and intimate way. They're ways that we hear his voice and pay attention to the work that he wants to do in our lives. And solitude and silence have sometimes been called container practices. That is, they often create the means by which we can engage in some of the other spiritual practices of the Christian life more deeply, such as scripture and prayer and worship. By putting ourselves in an undistracted and unhurried space, we can be more deeply engaged with scripture and prayer and worship. And I think as we look at the Gospels, we see that Jesus himself models for us rhythms of solitude and silence in the midst of ministry. As we look at his patterns of ministry, we see that he both engages in ministry, but he also has times of withdrawal from ministry, times of withdrawal to be with his Father and to pray in a quiet place. And in the Gospels, we also see that Jesus invites his own disciples into these same rhythms and patterns. So in Mark chapter 6, after the disciples had returned for really their first experience of the mission he was calling them to, he immediately invites them to come away with him to a quiet place. So before debriefing, before moving on to the next meet or the next ministry opportunity, he instills in them his own patterns of engagement and retreat, and he invites them to rest. And Jesus extends this same invitation to us as well. I think when you think about it, it is amazing to be involved into solitude and silence by Jesus. When Jesus invites us to come away with himself to a quiet place, it tells us that we are valued and loved by him beyond the work that we do for him. It tells us that Jesus wants more than just our service. He wants to be with us, and he wants for us to be with him. And I think importantly for us, particularly as leaders and people who are engaged in ministry, this invitation also tells us that Jesus is not a harsh taskmaster. He is not a demanding boss who will use us until we break. And I think sometimes in the midst of ministry and its demands and its pressures, it's easy to forget that Jesus isn't actually the one who's placing overwhelming demands on us. It's not Jesus who is leading us to places where our soul is weary and our body and our mind are exhausted and at the end of themselves. But Jesus longs for us to experience and to know his rest for our bodies and our minds and our souls. And that is just an invitation of grace. When we are invited into silence and solitude, Jesus is telling us who we are beyond what we do for him. And it is telling us where our identity really lies and who we really are, our true selves in him. And I really want to look at two reasons why I think solitude and silence are healthy rhythms for us in our own spiritual life and ministry. And really, the first is that because solitude and silence are often places of rest and restoration for us, just like they were for the disciples. As all of us know, ministry is tiring and draining work. It drains us physically and emotionally and mentally and spiritually. But in solitude and silence, we are invited to simply come and to be with Jesus. And we're invited to come just as we are, with whatever is going on inside of us or around us. We're invited to come without any demands on us or expectations of us, and without having to do anything. And that is just grace. And I think the picture of the weaned child in Psalm 131 is that wonderful picture of the kind of being with Jesus that we are invited into. In Psalm 131, we see the picture of a child who is nestled in the lap of his or her mother, and they are contented and settled, and they are receiving what's needed simply by being in the loving presence of their mother and enjoying intimacy. And in solitude and silence, that's the kind of rest that we are able to receive from Christ. I can remember a number of years ago, I was on a retreat, and I was so drained that I just could not do anything. I couldn't really engage with scripture. I couldn't read the books that I had packed. I couldn't pray through the concerns or the issues that I brought with me. I was just spent. And everything about me was weary, my body, my mind, my soul. And really, for the first day, I wrestled with trying to do something spiritually productive, something that I could take away from my time. And I just didn't have the energy. And maybe you know moments like that in your own lives as well. I think that first day I took a nap, but it didn't really help that internal weariness that I had carried into that time. And after a day, I just gave up my own efforts, and I gave up my own agenda for the time that I had on retreat. And for 3 days, I just sat by the bank of a river. I think I listened to the same sort of praise and worship album over and over again for those 3 days. And all I could do was pray, Jesus, I'm here. And I need you to come and meet with me, because I can't come and meet with you. And it was just that kind of moment of crawling into a lap. And I'm not even sure I had the energy to crawl into his lap. I just needed Jesus to meet me with his rest. And in doing that, I was also admitting that I could not think myself out of my weariness. I couldn't fix what was wrong and the things that had led me to this weariness. And just like that weaned child, I had to admit my own limitations and that I could not figure out how to fix myself. And I couldn't actually give myself or do anything to get the rest that I needed inside. And over those next days, it was just amazing. Over time, the Lord just gently gave me the rest and the restoration that I needed. And I left those days just being able to carry on. And I think what I needed most in that time wasn't a good holiday, but it was to receive from Jesus what only he could give me, that deep rest that comes from being in his presence and ministered to by him. There wasn't anything I could do for myself. I could just receive. And we may well find ourselves in similar places where what we need most for our souls is to enter into that solitude and silence and to just be with Jesus, like that child on her mother's lap. And that is a rest that Jesus wants to give us and that he invites us to experience. And again, that is just sheer grace when we are exhausted and we are weary deep inside because we have been pouring out for others. And so there's one reason why I think solitude and silence is so essential in the life of a leader. It's often in those places that we are given what we need to carry on and to be faithful to the things that Jesus has called us to. But there are also places where we experience in deep ways who we really are outside of the things that we do for him, and where we are ministered to and given rest, not just for our minds and our bodies, but for our souls as well. But there's another reason why I think solitude and silence can be essential for our souls and our formation in the midst of our ministry. And that's because solitude and silence can help to break the unhealthy attachments that we can have to success, to control, to performance, to being needed, to approval, the attachments that we can have to our own agendas and our need to manipulate things. These are things that can so often live beneath the surface of our leadership, and we don't always recognize or appreciate the ways that they drive us and that they enslave us. And in the busy pace of ministry and in the noise that we live in, we also don't always recognize the negative ways that they are impacting others that we are serving. And so solitude and silence are necessary because it's only in those spaces so often that we can actually stop and pay attention to what's going on in our lives, in our hearts. It's often only in solitude and silence that we can listen to the voice of the Spirit who wants to show us our idols and the ways that they're driving us. And I think this is one of the great challenges of solitude and silence, and maybe why many leaders never really want to enter into it and therefore never do. It may be that we fear being alone with ourselves and being alone with Jesus because we know what we might see when all of the busyness and all of the noise stops and with all of the things that prop up our sense of self and our worth are removed from us. When it's just us and the Lord, we might be really scared as to what we might find there. And it's really painful to see the ways that we are sinful and broken, the ways that sin impacts the work that we've been given to do. But it's also a necessary work, and it's a good work that needs done in our lives. And because it's only in seeing what's really going on inside of us and the dynamics of our souls that we can repent and we can pursue the work that the Spirit wants to do in us, and to transform those sinful and broken places in us where we are not like Jesus. Parker Palmer says this, and I find it really deeply challenging. And again, I think it speaks so much to Marcus was saying in the beginning about the kind of levels of control and manipulation and harmful leadership that we've seen. Parker Palmer says this. He says, a leader is a person who takes special responsibility for what's going on inside him or herself, lest the act of leadership create more harm than good. Again, that is so deeply challenging. If we are unaware of the dynamics of our hearts, or we are willfully neglecting the dynamics of our heart, and when we ignore the things that we rely on, or we are ignorant of the things that we rely on for our identity and for our value, our sense of worth, then it may well be that we are using our ministry and our leadership in wrong ways. And in some ways, I think this is true of all of us, whether that kind of use of our leadership is causing really severe damage and spiritual harm, or whether we're just feeding off the people that we're serving in some way, and we're feeding off of them to serve ourselves, whether that's our need to be loved or approved of, or even our need to be needed. I think there's all sorts of dynamics that go on underneath the surface of our souls. And when we are feeding on the people that we're called to serve, to fill up something inside of us, we can create great harm. At the very least, we will not be able to love people freely in the ways that they need to be loved, or to love them indeed like Jesus loves them if somehow we ourselves are looking to receive something from them. And I think there's something about drawing away from our work and our ministry that not only helps us to see the dynamics that can go on in our souls, but silence and solitude also can help to free us from these unhealthy attachments and idols. And sometimes they are the means that Jesus uses to not only expose, but to help break the control that these idols sometimes have on us. And so when we withdraw from ministry to be with Christ, we are saying no to the lies that we sometimes tell ourselves, and sometimes without even realizing it, that our value and our identity is in our performance or our reputation, or in needing to be needed, or in what we receive from others, whether that's approval or even a followership. There's something about drawing away that can help our hearts to let go of these idols. And there's something about solitude and silence as well that trains us to give up the idol of control, of that needing to set the agenda or to manipulate others. Because when we draw away in solitude and silence, we are saying that we are not indispensable. We are not the ones that people ultimately need. They need Jesus, and they need to be formed in the image of Jesus. And so when we set aside time to be with the Lord in silence and solitude, what we're really doing is we're saying, Lord, you are in control, and this is your ministry, and it is not mine. And when we draw away in solitude and silence, we are entrusting ourselves and our ministry to his loving control. And we're seeking to loosen the grasp that we might have on our own desire for control. Well, there's a lot more that we can say about solitude and silence, but here are just two ways that the Lord can use solitude and silence in our own lives and for our own spiritual health and growth. As we've seen in solitude and silence, we make space in our lives just to be with Christ, to deepen our relationship with him and our communion with him. Solitude and silence also gives us space to receive the rest that comes from him. And in solitude and silence, we also make space for Christ to do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. And in solitude and silence, again, we remember that we are unconditionally loved and redeemed children of God, people who have received grace upon grace from Christ. And remembering who we are can so often lessen the enslavement we have to the expectations we have of ourselves and the expectations that others may have for us. And in being with Christ and receiving his care and his work, we are more able to let go of control. And we're more able to be free from having to manipulate others to give us what we can only receive really from Christ himself. And so silence and solitude are not just healthy rhythms for our own sake, but they are healthy rhythms for the sake of those that we love and that we care for and that we're called to serve as well. I just want to say one last thing before we go into small groups. And that is that it is not easy to enter into solitude and silence. It's hard. It is an invitation of grace, but actually moving into that space can be so hard. It can be hard to settle ourselves when things are chaotic inside of us or outside of us. It's hard to face ourselves and sometimes who we really are and what's really going on inside of us. Being able to enter into long periods of solitude and silence takes time and it takes practice. It's also hard to pull away from the things that give us our sense of identity and value and our adrenaline. And it's sometimes hard to enter into silence and solitude because it's actually a long and a slow work. And we may be tempted to give up because we think nothing is happening. But persevering in regular rhythms of solitude and silence is worth it. And the more that we are able to lean into it and be persevere in it and be present to it, it will bear fruit in our lives and in our ministries, because Christ is with us and he's at work in us in those times of solitude and silence.
Thank you for listening to the Living Leadership Podcast. We hope what you've heard today spurs you on in your walk with the Lord. If you're encouraged by today's episode, consider sharing it with a friend or colleague, or leaving us a review on your podcast app of choice to help others find us. If you'd like to engage further with us on anything we've discussed today, we'd love to hear from you. You can find us on any major social media application at Living Leaders, or you can visit our website, www.livingleadership.org, where you'll find even more support and resources to help you live in Christ joyfully and serve him faithfully. Blessings.